Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've had the chance to be with us, we're right in the middle of a series for this Christmas season. It's an 8-part series going all the way through the end of January, and I call it He is Our Christmas Christ. That's the portrait of God we're looking at this Christmas season, and under that we are going through these 8 weeks and seeing 8 more portraits that more specifically reveal how He is our Christmas Christ. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 today. As I record this, it's a couple of days before Christmas. You'll be hearing it broadcast a couple of days after Christmas. And we're going to savor the classic Christmas story in Luke. And we're going to highlight what was going on in the heart of the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna, under this portrait of Christ. How He is our present Christ. And by the way, just a quick reminder that you can find all of these broadcasts. They're 27 minutes long. They're at my website, which I call Helping You Hear God. Very easily designed, by the way. Just go to the box that says Broadcasts, click on it, then go to the next box that shows up that says Portraits of God, and you're there. You'll see the list of these messages. And what we have covered is how He is our pre-time Christ in the first message, how He is our prophesied Christ in the second one. The third broadcast covered how He is our promised Christ. Now we're going to look at how He is our present Christ, one of the greatest doctrines in all of Scripture, one of the greatest truths, one of the great life-changing ideas and dynamics in our Christian life. So I can't wait to unpack this for you. And as you're making your way over to Luke chapter 2 for our journey through God's love letters today, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity You give us to come and sit at Your feet, gaze in Your eyes, and let You speak to us heart to heart. And oh, today, as we take a nice, slow stroll through the Christmas story, we're going to see how You became flesh and dwelt among us, all the implications of that, all the dynamics of that, the gift of that, how it changes and transforms our hearts. And Lord, I can't wait to share this with my brothers and sisters. So thank You for just being the kind of God who loves to speak to us and give us a glimpse of Yourself as our Christmas Christ, who is our pre-time Christ, prophesied Christ, promised Christ, and today our present Christ. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you want a quick glimpse at these first 3 portraits of God under He is Our Christmas Christ, and maybe even listen to the entire broadcast on my website at markpg.org. I hope you will take the time to do that. But let me just give you a quick glimpse of those as we set the table for our continuing journey. He is our pre-time Christ. We saw this in John 1:1, how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14, and this is where we're going to go today, focus on this, and the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, for those of you who are doctrinally oriented, that's called the doctrine of the incarnation. It literally means to become flesh or become meat. Carne is the word in Spanish for meat. So incarnation is how the Lord became flesh and dwelt among us. And we're going to talk about the implications of that today. But we started by seeing how He's our pre-time Christ. He existed before time, eternal past, but He's also going to He also exists into eternity future. Amazing. He can take care of us. It was a great time we took a peek at that. Then we went to the second broadcast, talked about how he's our prophesied Christ, and talked about the Christ types we see in the Old Testament and all the direct prophecies, not all of them, but some of them, just to see how he was our prophesied Christ and the astounding thing that that was by the time he showed up in the New Testament era. And then last time we talked about how he is our promised Christ, and we looked at this manifested in the life of Zacharias, and then Mary, and then Joseph, and then the Magi, how each of them were exhibiting gradual trust in Zacharias' case, instant trust in Mary's case, durable trust in Joseph's case, and lavish trust through the Magi. So I hope you'll take a peek at those and walk through those. But today, we're looking at how he is our present Christ. You know, think about this for a moment. Remember the burning bush when God's manifest presence was in the burning bush when Moses spotted this phenomenon up in the mountain? He went up there, and when he approached it, remember this, God said to remove your sandals because the ground upon which you walk is holy ground. The presence of God made dirt holy. Chew on that a minute. That's astounding. Go to the New Testament. We talk about how the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies. Guess what? Our bodies become holy ground once we become saved. Why? Because the incarnation tells us how the Lord became flesh to dwell among us. But when we get saved, he comes to dwell within us. It's union within us. Get this. Our inner heart, our soul, are his Bethlehem. You ever thought about that? Well, we're going to take a journey through the story of what happened in Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. This was the literal manifestation of that. But the metaphorical one is that our hearts become the new Bethlehem. And when people see us and see our hearts and hear our hearts and souls, you are manifesting the Lord's Jesus presence as if he was coming to Bethlehem once again. So let's take that journey together. I'm going to show you four ways in which the hearts and souls of the shepherds, and then Mary and Joseph, and then Simeon and Anna manifested the reality of the fact that the Lord is our present Christ among us and within us, manifesting himself through us. Astounding stuff. So let's pick it up. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. And this was the first registration that took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was pregnant. Now, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now that's the story we see depicted so often in all the nativity stories that are filmed or put on as a production by children or adults during the Christmas season. But now let's pick it up in verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For today a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David, and this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Now let's stop there for a moment. This is the incarnation. This is God becoming flesh to dwell among us through the Virgin Mary. This is the present Christ. But it's going to go deeper because he didn't come just to be among us. He wants to live within us, and that comes by salvation, my friends. The moment you get saved, enter covenant with Christ, ask him to come in and take over your heart and life as you repent of your sin and ask him to come into your heart and life, then he dwells within you. He is the present Christ within you. And we get glimpses of that in the lives of the shepherds first as we continue this story. Because in verse 13 it says, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people he favors. And when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, now watch this, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph. I loved how they were so enamored by the reality of the coming of Christ, that he was present, Messiah was present, that they searched for him. They couldn't help but go and search for him. So as it said in verse 16, they did hurry off, search for him, found Mary and Joseph and the baby. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about the child. Remember, that's what the angels had told them. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then let's skip on down to verse 20. We'll come back to verse 19 later. Verse 20, so the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. You know, when I think about the hearts and souls of the shepherds, they became celebrative searchers, didn't they? When they saw the angels and heard the angels that the Lord was present among them now, after all the years of prophecy, the fulfillment was at hand, they became celebrative searchers. They searched for him, they found him, and they celebrated what they saw. My friend, when you came to Christ, and Christ came to live within you, as the years have rolled by, have you been a celebrative searcher, continuing to search the deeper things of God and his ways, and celebrated the things that you're discovering and learning? You know, years ago, I have a younger sister, and this was many years ago when she met a guy at work who was actually from India, brilliant man, and they met at Motorola. Later, he worked for Intel and then some other thing. Now he's at Ericsson. Anyway, his name is Velu, my brother-in-law. He was a Hindu at the time, and he met my sister, and she said that, well, we can't date. I can only greet Christians, but they were eating lunch anyway, and so she said, well, why don't you come to church with us? He began to come to church. He became a searcher of this Jesus that my sister was telling him about, and he began attending with my family, a local church there, and they invited him over for lunch and stuff, and well, to make a wonderful story short, months went by, and they were still seeing each other, but under the watchful eye of my parents and going to church together and all. And he came to Christ, but got saved. A Hindu got saved because he was searching. And so everybody expected her to pop the question pretty soon. Well, a month went by, 3 months, 6 months, a year went by when he finally popped the question. And my sister said, well, yeah, but you know, what took you so long? And he probably gave the only answer that was going to be satisfactory. He said, oh, well, I had to know, and you had to know, and your family had to know that I'm coming to Christ for Christ, not just to marry you. I love that. And he has been serving the Lord faithfully, along with my sister and their family, celebrative searchers, finding the Lord Jesus Christ, who is present among us and also lives within us when we come to Christ. Well, the story has been unfolding. I skipped verse 19, but as all this was happening, verse 19 tells us, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Some of the translations say, and Mary pondered all these things in her heart. I love that. The idea of meditating deeply on the things that she is seeing, processing them. And then if you go over to verse 33, as the story continues to unfold, it says there that his father and mother, that is Joseph and Mary, were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. And they too were processing, the father as well, amazed, pondering all these things that were unfolding in their lives by the hand of God. I see them as meditative thinkers. The presence of the Lord in their lives seemed to spawn the reflexive response of meditating, pondering, thinking through the things that they were seeing. Meditative thinkers. You know, when the Lord takes up residence within us, my friends, when we searched and we found him and we come to him and become born again, saved, we become a child of God or the bride of Christ. You know, there's so many metaphors in scriptures. We become his friend, all of these things. We have the opportunity to live a life in communion with him, hearing his daily whispers from above and having the opportunity to be meditative thinkers about what he says, what he's doing in our lives. You know, it's no secret that we're living in a scanning kind of culture. You know, social media stuff, we're scanning the social media, the Instagrams, and we're in Facebook, and we scan our texts, and we scan our emails, and we don't get very deep. You know, we get all these short clips, and we just kind of say, boop, and there it is, and we move on. We don't take the deep dive to really think through things reflexively anymore. We have a very short attention span. So let me just encourage you. It's not about quantity. Even going through the Bible and reading your Bible, it's not about racing through so you can say, I've been through the Bible. I once had a friend of mine. He actually became the associate pastor of a church I used to pastor at years and years ago. And he would boast, I read through the Bible 100 times this year, or actually the New Testament 100 times this year. He was proud of that. Then we found out that during that entire year, he actually was in an affair with a woman, and it led to the destruction of his family, the breaking up, tragic. Why? How could a man who'd been through the Bible so often do something like that? Well, I like how one guy put it that I read long ago. I wish I could remember who said it. But it was something like this. It's not about how many times or how much you go through the Bible. It's about how much you let the Bible go through you. Do you let the Bible go through you? Do you get the words of the Lord, the impressions of the Lord, the actions of the Lord? Do you ponder them? Do you chew on them? Do you meditate upon them? Do you think deeply? Do you take the deep dive? Oh, I hope you'll become someone like that. I hope that you won't race through your devotionals or through your Bible readings. There's times God doesn't let me get past three verses because something just jumps out at me. And he says, chew on this. Chew on this, my son. And it goes deeper and deeper into our hearts. It's how much you let the Lord and his heart go through your heart. How much you let the Bible go through you, not how much you go through the Bible. Well, the passage continues unfolding with the story of the presence of Christ. Let's pick it up in verse 21. Well, when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, and that was, of course, was Jewish tradition, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived. And by the way, this is a good time to remind you that other passages say his name was also Emmanuel, which means, you know this, God with us, our present Christ. So his name was Jesus, or Emmanuel, God with us, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were finished. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. By the way, I just love how Mary and Joseph honored their Jewish tradition in this, and all of these were foreshadowed practices of what was to come. That's for another day. But there was a man named Simeon, let's pick it up in verse 25, in Jerusalem. And this man, Simeon, was righteous and devout, looking toward Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah, and guided by the Spirit. I love all these references, by the way, that how the Holy Spirit was on him and that the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and he was guided by the Holy Spirit. He entered the temple complex, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and praised God and said this. Now, listen to this prayer. Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. And this is where Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary. Now listen to this. This takes us by surprise how deep he goes at this moment. His heart welling up, his tender heart so grateful that the Lord let him live long enough to see the coming of the Messiah. So grateful he was able to pray a blessing over him and apparently be given a prophecy that he could speak in comfort to Mary and Joseph about how things were unfolding then and how they would unfold in the future. Listen to this. Simeon blessed them, verse 34, told his mother Mary, indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Man, this is worth its own series, but let me just put it this way. This is Simeon, the tender comforter, pierced soul revelation was being shared here. In effect, he was saying, look, this is indeed the promised Messiah, but it's going to be a very difficult road. Some are going to fall. Some are going to rise. Some will accept him. Some will reject him. Some will accept you. Some will reject you. It'll be piercing to your heart to see what will need to be done to him. And yet, this is the prophecy and the fulfillment of God before our very eyes. My friend, sometimes those difficult times are the very thing that takes you deeper and deeper into the reality of finding your tender comfort in the presence of Christ himself. Pierced soul revelation. These are the things that draw us deeper and deeper in discovering him. A.W. Tozer once wrote, it's doubtful that God can use a man greatly until he's hurt him deeply. Wow. Life will hurt us. Life is brutal. But my friend, it's in those very times that the Lord draws you closer and closer. And Simeon was a tender comforter to them that day that says, look, this is going to happen, but it's okay. The Lord is with you. He is present. Well, we end up with Anna in just a few verses right after that. Because there in the temple, there also was a prophetess Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years of her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. And she did not leave the temple complex, serving God day and night with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, She came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Anna is what I call the grateful encourager. We have the shepherd, celebrative searchers, Mary and Joseph, meditative thinkers, Simeon, the tender comforter, and Anna, the grateful encourager, who got to see Jesus himself, got so excited and so grateful to the Lord for that opportunity that she couldn't help but just share him and encourage others with her fresh testimony of the glory of God, of the incarnation of God. She began to thank God and speak about him to all who were looking toward the redemption of Israel. My friend, is that you? Have you gotten so enamored, so gripped, so touched, so deeply by the amazing, amazing works of God and developed a grateful spirit that you can't help but tell others about him with fresh testimony, fresh teaching, fresh sharing? If you're a pastor, fresh preaching. When you begin to understand the profound significance of how our Christmas Christ is our present Christ, the incarnation, having him among us, but our union and salvation in him, placing him within us, it changes everything. We discover him from the inside out and share about him from the inside out, just like Anna did along with the others. Well, Lord, we're so grateful for that. Thank you for being the God who is with us, the God who is within us. We receive that, and we want to share that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our Christmas Christ, and our present Christ.